Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Ten Commandments model when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. How many laws do you think Moses gave us in the Mosaic Law? And how many laws do you think that our government has given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, the state at last count has given us 2.5 million laws. Now, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than man. He said that in Acts 5, verse 29. And the Congress of the United States said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and society. And our Supreme Court said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, every authority is in agreement. The Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself. The Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into our God-given rights is a right, it is a duty, and it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves, our families, and to our society. And here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of these laws, and we do it twice a year in the spring and the fall. So why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? The First Amendment is the gateway to the Second, and indeed to your whole Bill of Rights. Now, the law of God is old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is available on compact disc for adult home study, and if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, the Ten Commandment model. Now, you've heard me mention a time or two that there are two paradigms on planet Earth when it comes to law. Just two, not 20 or 50 or 90. There's about 200 countries in the world, and they all have law. They all exercise the power of sovereignty. They make law. They have legislative bodies, and they have kings, dictators, presidents, premiers, prime ministers, and they exercise the prerogatives of government, and that is sovereignty. Well, there's another entity out here that exercises the prerogative of sovereignty, and we call him God, G-O-D. It isn't his name. It's a title. It's an appellation that we hang on Buddha, Allah, Jesus. You know, the various religious people around the world have these concepts of religion and ideology. Well, this God that we all recognize, at least most people in the world recognize, has some laws. Believe it or not, he came up with a legal code. Now, here in the Western world, we subscribe to a religious ideology called Christianity, and the theory behind it is that a God delivered some people out of captivity in Egypt a long time ago, took them out to a mountain and called Sinai, and gave them the Ten Commandments. That's the story, and then it's got some historical merit to it. Now, the people that are in the Christian world claim that they follow this God. They call him Jesus, and they're religious people, and they're sincere, most of them. And they subscribe to this thing that we call Holy Writ, or the Scripture, or the Holy Bible. And Catholics do, Protestants do, Jews do, to some extent. And in that book, in Exodus chapter 20, and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you'll find this code, this Ten Commandment code. Now, here in the United States, our founding fathers in 1787 not only subscribed to that code, they included 22 principles of that Ten Commandment code into our federal constitution, and our state governments have done the same thing to a greater or lesser degree. All 50 states have constitutions that include principles that come from this law called the Ten Commandment model. Now, there's a rival model that goes along with this thing of law worldwide, and today we call it the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. It's an old law. It has its origin in Hammurabi's code. In fact, it goes back before Hammurabi. And the earliest known code that we can come up with, that we know about, that we have historical documentation for, and I suspect that if we could go back further, it would take us back to the Garden of Eden. I think that's where this thing got started off track. But we know we can go back to the Babylonian mystery religion. We can trace the principles of law. For instance, the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for free education for all children in public school. The concept of educating your children in a public forum goes back to the Babylonians, and it's been followed by every despotic system of government from that moment to this. And we Americans, when we started out in 1787, did not practice free education for all children in public school. We practiced free private home education, which is the biblical model. But over time, we threw that Ten Commandment biblical model out the window, and we adopted this 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto and created a public school system. A second principle of communism or of the Babylonian mystery religion is unjust or false weights and balances, which is manifested in the Eighth Commandment that says, "Thou shalt not steal." We have a law, four words, "Thou shalt not steal." Followed by a number of statutes, for instance, that tell us that you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. In Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36, for instance. Now, in opposition to that, we have the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the creation of a central bank, which turns out paper money, which creates inflation, which robs especially the poor, robs everybody, but robs especially the poor. Then an income tax, which is a counterfeit of tithing. And tithing comes from the Bible, comes from this God. And tithing is voluntary, so they created a voluntary income tax attached to Social Security. And then they give you a number. So this is your Social Security taxpayer identification number, which is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. So when we go through the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, they are the exact antithesis, the opposite to the 10 commandments. That's the point I wanted to make. When we Americans practiced the 10 commandment model beginning in 1787, 13 underdeveloped countries like Rhode Island and Massachusetts and New York and Pennsylvania and Georgia and so on, 13 undeveloped third world nations, backward frontier countries, began practicing those 10 commandments, that 10 commandment model. And between 1787 and 1900, those 13 backward countries multiplied into about 46 countries, banded together in a country, in a super country called the United States of America, which became the wealthiest, most powerful, and prosperous military power in the world in 113 years, using that 10 commandment model. Beginning about 1900, actually a little before that, but around 1900, we Americans decided that this Ten Commandment model wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And so we began a process over a long period of time, about 30 years, of changing from the Ten Commandment model, which was unique to the United States and Great Britain and a few other countries in Western Europe, to adopting the world model, the communist model. And we really got a real kick in the pants in 1933 when Franklin Roosevelt took office. And from 1933 to the end of World War II, 1945, in that 13-year period there, we Americans made a complete shift from the Ten Commandment model to the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto model, which is really a takeoff of the Babylonian mystery religion. Now, from 1945 on, America has been going downhill. And when we were practicing the Ten Commandment model and we were wealthy, we were a lending nation, and we lent money to many nations around the world. We were the world's number one creditor nation. Today, as I speak, we are the world's number one debtor nation. In 1945, American money, United States dollars, were the most valuable, sought after, looked up to money, or monetary system in the world. Today, the American dollar has lost 98% of its value. And the American dollar is on the verge of total collapse in this economic collapse. It will shortly collapse totally. Now, without going through these 10 planks and the 10 commandments one by one, my point is that we've made a very significant paradigm shift, we Americans. And around the world, people have followed us. The British and French and the Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders, you know, all you people, Japan and Korea and so on, you've all followed this model. And it has now led to what we're calling an economic crisis. Actually, this is more than an economic crisis. It is a meltdown of the entire world economy. It is ushering in a depression and then a world war of imagination defying vitality. It's going to take on a life of its own here in this year of 2009. It is going to stagger everybody's imagination. as time progresses along. It'll be worse than the 1930s. And it was predicted in the pages of the Bible, believe it or not, and I showed you that last week, that the pages of the Bible talk about this thing of prophecy, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, in order for us to understand, why does God allow this to happen? What is it? I have a doctor I go to every once in a while. He's actually a chiropractor. His wife died not too long ago, and a few months back, and they're fairly young people, you know, compared to old people like us. You know, he's in his, he might be 50, but I'd say he's probably in his late 40s, and his wife died. She got the flu. Last winter, she got the flu, and every year, 35,000 Americans die from flu. 2 million get it, but 35,000 actually die from it. Now, most of us, when we get the flu, you know, we're sick for a while, and then we recover from it, and we go on about our business, but, you know, 35,000 of us every year die. And so, this man blamed God. He's really bummed out about God, whoever his God is. I'm not quite sure if he follows the Catholic God or the Protestant God or the Jewish God or the Mohammedan God. Or, you know, he's not particularly religious. He's a scientist. He's a doctor. He's one of those, but nice guy. But his theory is that God has let him down. Well, now, I thought we ought to take a look at this because I told you the other day there are 133 subject matters of law in the Bible. There's 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. So now before you write me a letter and tell me, no, I made a mistake, there's 613. And that's because that's what the Jews came up with. And I'm not going to argue with you or the Jews or anybody else. I'm sure that the Jews diligently looked through the scriptures and found 613. I've heard that number myself. I went through the scriptures and I found 759. Okay? And so the Jews missed four or five. That's all. There's some more in there that they missed. I found 759. Hell, there could be 10 or 15 that I missed. But I did find 759, and I wrote them all out. I have a book here that I wrote up and published myself. It's called The Mosaic Law. Took it out of the Bible, code-plotted it out, and then I wrote a book. It's about 500 pages, and I've identified every statute, judgments, and commandment in the Bible. Furthermore, I looked up the penalties for the violation of each and every one of them. Believe it or not, God has 28 punishments, 28 ways. See, you thought he just killed people. This God is very inventive, very, very crafty. And so he has 28 different punishments. 27 punishments that don't include death. Isn't that just special? So I code-plotted it out. Now, when you get down to the final analysis and you look it up like you do here in the U.S. Code, you find that the U.S. Code has 50 titles. God in the Bible has 133 titles. You know, like one title is adultery. That's one subject matter of law. There's several statutes that deal with adultery. Just like Title 26 is the tax code, okay? And there are several statutes under Title 26 that tell you how to practice that tax code. In fact, there's 2.5 million of these statutes and judgments and city ordinances and so on. That is state, federal, and local. All right, now with that little ditty in mind, let's take a look here, and I'm going to show you from the scripture the violations that we're involved in. And that includes the doctor that I'm telling you about and you and me and everybody else. So when we have a bad outcome, like a monetary crisis, and the you lost your job, and the bank is going to foreclose and take your house and your car away from you. Before you blame God, you should keep in mind that God told you not to do that. Did you know that? Now, 65% of Americans go to church every Sunday. And only 13% of you Europeans, but here in this country, 65% every Sunday go to church. And when they go to church, you would think that the preacher up there is teaching them out of the Bible and teaching them these laws and statutes and judgments and commandments. They don't. They haven't. And they're not going to. And that's because Christianity is paganism at its root, at its core. They are absolutely at odds ends with the Ten Commandments. And if you just ask your preacher, should we follow the Ten Commandments, he'll tell you no, no, 1,000 times no. So I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just here to report that, hell, that's the way it's been as long as I can remember. Now, what is it about the Ten Commandments that everybody is so opposed to? You know, take a law like thou shalt not steal. You don't want somebody to come over and steal your car, steal your lawnmower, steal your identity, and then run up all your credit cards and screw over your credit. You don't want that. So what's wrong with a law that says thou shalt not steal? That sounds like a pretty good idea to me. How about you shall do no murder, thou shalt not kill? Did you want somebody to come up and shoot you, knife you, bludgeon you, rape you, rob you, pillage you, kill you? Normal people don't want that. Sounds like a pretty good law to me. Now, you know, there's a couple of laws that we all agree with. Now, the same God that gave us those two laws, which seem to be pretty down-to-earth, common-sense laws, gave us another one here. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, most of us disagree with that law. And that's because I love that woman and I want to go to bed with her. Unfortunately, when we practice free sex, we have a side effect that comes from it. Now, bulls practice free sex, and fish practice free sex. In fact, most animals do. Not all, but most. And they don't have a problem with it. And I guess it's God's fault for not making us like bulls and cows and fish so that we could go out and have free sex also. But as a designer, as a creator, as an inventor, he, for whatever reason, and I haven't talked to him, and he hasn't revealed to me, he hasn't sat down and said, George, let me explain this adultery thing to you and my thinking on it and the reason that I did this. He did it, evidently, because that's what he wanted to do. And he explains in the scripture, he says, you know, I'm the potter and you're the clay. Does the potter, or does the clay look at the potter and say, why have you made me thus? So, you know, as a product, I look at it more pragmatically and say, well, I guess evidently that's what he had in mind. It's what he wanted. Then he gave me an instruction, say, Gordon, don't practice adultery, don't kill people, and don't steal. And so I looked at it and said, well, okay, I really would like to practice adultery. I really enjoy it. I have a good time doing it, and I'd like to do it more and more often and with more beautiful women. But I've got this law here that says don't do that. And so I got a choice to make. You know, should I follow that law or should I follow my own instincts and desires? Now, in my lifetime, I've run across a couple of people that I didn't like real much or real lot, and so I would like to kill them, but I'm constrained by this law that says thou shalt do no murder, and so I've been forced on more than one occasion to restrain myself, kind of out of fear that if I killed somebody, I'd probably get caught, and if I got caught, then they'd want to hang me or gas me or electrocute me or something, and so that also plays a role in my thinking, but in all of my life, I haven't killed anybody yet. I've thought about it, though. I intended to. I found a couple of guys that I thought needed killing, but I withstood the temptation. I didn't do it. I've stolen a few things in my life. I stopped doing that, though, in my own self-interest, because there's a penalty for theft. And most people don't like thieves, and we don't care much for people that steal, and so I've stopped doing that, and so now I don't steal. Now, I took a look at the rest of the Ten Commandments and said, you know, come think of it, what is it about the Ten Commandments that is so objectionable? Let's take the Fourth Commandment. It says, thou remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then he goes on, and it's kind of a long commandment. He says, you know, 6 days shall you work and do all your labor and do all of your work, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath, and I want you to rest. Now, we Americans, and most people around the world, but especially here in America, where the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we absolutely will not do that. Now, we don't mind keeping one day of the week holy. We don't mind taking a day off during the week, maybe on Wednesday or Sunday or Saturday. But the idea that we would follow that commandment strictly and keep the Sabbath, the seventh day, Saturday, that's not going to happen, hasn't happened, and we're not going to do that. Now, the people are either going to work 5 days. You know, it says 6 days shall you labor? No. We will work 7 days a week, or we will work 5 days a week, but by God, we're not going to work six. And that's the last word on that subject. I mean, just we'll work four and a half, five, or seven, but we will not work six and rest one. That ain't going to happen. Now, I don't know what it is, but if God told you to come, you'd walk away. If he told you to sit down, you'd stand up. And I'm going to show you that here. That there's 133 of these laws, and we violate 82 of them. It's public policy here in the United States. Our government encourages us to violate these 82 laws. Just absolutely, they have statutes that require that we do it, or they have customs and traditions, and they have public policies in place that encourage the violation of all 133, but so far they've only succeeded in getting us to violate 82. That's the bad news. Now, the good news is we're still practicing 51. Surprisingly enough, we still practice 51 of these laws, like thou shalt not steal and thou shalt do no murder. Public policy, you know, says, you know, if we catch you killing people, now we're going to get you. If we catch you stealing people's identity and running up their credit cards, we're going to get you. And so it's against the law to do those things, and we're out here working hard. So there's 51 that we practice, and there's 82 that we violate. Now, getting back to the doctor over here, his wife violated one or more of the 18 health laws. And she got the flu, which then turned into pneumonia, and then she died from it. And he's bummed out. Had a guy here one time. And he said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat, because see, here at the law school, we tell you about pork. In Leviticus 11, verse 7, it says, don't eat pig. And this guy gave me about 15 reasons why pig is good for you, and why he likes it, and why he eats it, and one thing and another. And I'm, son, you're preaching to the choir here. I told him that. I said, listen, I cut my teeth on pig. I learned how to eat pickled pig's feet from my granddaddy. Had bacon and eggs nearly every morning. I understand pig. If God made anything better than a pig to eat, he'd cap it for himself. That's what I've always said. But the same God said, this pig over here isn't good for you, so don't eat it. Now, you know, if you were to buy a new Ford car, you get an owner's manual with it. See? And in the owner's manual, it tells you what kind of fuel to put in it. Now, I got a car out here, and it says unleaded fuel only. Say, well, I can put in leaded fuel, and it runs. I can put in premium fuel, and it runs. I could even mix in 10% diesel fuel, and it'll run. But it doesn't run as well. You know, it smokes a lot, and it doesn't give me the same kind of mileage, and it doesn't give me the same kind of power. But, I mean, it'll run. I can get the town back. It tells me to put 30-weight motor oil in the crankcase. I bet you if I put in 20-weight oil, I could probably get away with it, or 50-weight oil. But, you know, the guys that make those cars, those engineers and designers, you know, they test all those things. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but they've got test tracks. And they'll invent a car, they'll make a car, and then they drive it around that test track, you know, for 100,000 miles. They keep careful, copious notes. And then they say, well, from our experience, we find that this car runs best on unleaded fuel, or here's the kind of fuel you ought to put in it. I got a diesel pickup out here. Doesn't run worth a hoot on gasoline. I'm going to tell you that they don't do good. Got another rig out here said, do not use starting fluid. So I went out and I used starting fluid and broke a piston in it. And so it doesn't run at all. And I took it down to the boneyard. It was a forklift. And said right on there, it says, do not use ether or starting fluid. One start one morning, cold. So I went out there and I stuck a little ether in there. And by God, they were right again. Now, most of us are very careful. You know, we follow the owner's manual when it comes to an automobile or to a piece of machinery. But when God comes along, the inventor of human beings, the inventor of life, you know, and he says, don't eat pig, we say, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. And I'm sure that lady probably said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. And she ate what she wanted to eat because it tasted good. But, you know, like my forklift with the broken piston, she got sick and died from it, just like my forklift got real sick and died with too much ether. So with that in mind, let me give you a reminder. I can find my paper here. Here it is. Nope, I didn't. Here it is. Got to give you a reminder here so that we can keep on good terms here with all the FCCs and all the government agencies around the world that require that we give you some information, tell you who we are. And so let me start off by saying you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the Ten Commandment model. Let me start off here with integration. In Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, we were segregated at the Tower of Babel, and then we were prohibited from reintegrating. Now, here in America, we call this the melting pot of the world, and we have brought in people from probably every country in the world. Now, we were told, don't do that. And we were told, don't do that more than once. But here's one place in the scripture that describes it with particularity. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Christmas. And in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6, we were told, don't do that. Don't do Christmas. No, we're not going to have any part of that. But if you want to read about Christmas, it's in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. Pork. We're told, don't eat pork. We're not going to have any part of that. But if you want to read about pork and in the Bible, it's in Leviticus 11, verse 7. And that's not the only place. But I'm not going to give you 10 references with each one. I'm just going to give you one. Easter. Easter. We were told, don't do that. Easter. Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19. Interracial marriage. And we were told, don't marry outside of your race. In Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11. That's Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11. And Ezra 10, verse 10. And I was watching a preacher here the other day. His name is Kent Hovind, or Kent Hovind, however you pronounce it. But on his videotapes, good guy, I like him. I like his videotapes on evolution. And then in his presentation, he said he couldn't find any place in the Bible that prohibited interracial marriage. Now, that's politically correct. I don't deny that. But then this God of the Bible, he's not politically correct, never has been. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses has always been politically incorrect. So I just... we'll throw that out there for your consideration. But anyway, for your information, Mr. Hovind, it's in Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11, and Ezra 10, 10. That's two out of about 10 prohibitions. All right, number six, unjust weights. It's against the law to make Federal Reserve notes, use them, credit cards, stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, second deeds of trust. I mean, I could go on and on, but it's in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. That's one place tells you, don't do that. Witchcraft. And that's prohibited in Leviticus 20, verse 27. Witchcraft. You know, most people, they think of witchcraft as being something like Ouija boards. Okay. It also includes Merck, Pfizer, and your local medical doctor who is a witch doctor practicing medicine. God told us don't do that. And we said, oh, no, you don't understand the human body and how it functions and how it evolved over a long period of time, God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to use medicine. We're going to use drugs, pharmaceuticals. That's called witchcraft in the Bible. Sodomy. Sodomy. I'm sure sodomy must feel real good. There's so many people that do it. I mean, it can't feel too bad. But sodomy is kind of like murder, you know. Maybe it's desirable, but maybe it's not good for you. You ever think about that? And that's because people that practice sodomy die on average at age 45. The average lifespan is 75, so they get cut off at about the halfway point in their lifetimes. It's prohibited in Leviticus 20, verse 13. That's just one place. God spoke about that more than once, but abortion. We have this controversy here in the United States, number nine, abortion. You know, we want to have a woman's right to choose, we call it. Well, okay, ladies, you know, you've got your right to choose, but you were told, don't make that choice. Don't do that. It's in Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. And let me remind you that it's a capital felony. Now, not all of these are capital felonies, but, you know, some of them are. Number 10, adultery. You're told not to do that. And adultery covers a wide range, a wide swath of conduct and activity. It's true that adultery, you know, is prohibited between you and the lady next door, you know, or the mailman ladies or somebody else, but it also covers a whole host and plethora of sex crimes, which are all listed in Leviticus chapter 18. So if you went to that chapter, Leviticus 18, it would tell you all about Woody Allen having sex with his mother and daughter, or his wife and daughter. Number 11, usury. You know, most people, you know, have a credit card, and they pay interest on the credit card, don't they? I got a mortgage on their house. Two people out of every three here in America have a mortgage on their house. Okay, usury is prohibited. God told you don't do that. It's in Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. In case you wanted to know, Exodus 22, 25 through 27. And there's a wide variety of opinion on the subject of usury. Wide variety of opinion. I've heard people say, well, it's against the law for the bank to charge it, but I'm the victim, and so it's all right for me to pay it. Ah, come on, let's wake up here and smell some coffee. We call this being an accessory before the fact. You know that it's against the law to practice usury. You know it's against the law for that banker to practice usury, and so you go down there and sign a contract and take his money and agree to pay the usury. You know, you preachers out there, you got a building fund, and so you get your parishioners out there to sign the building fund pledge. And you borrow the money from the bank, and you're paying interest on it. Now you got all of your parishioners out there, all your Christian converts out there paying this. Now, come on, wake up and smell some coffee here. It's a violation of the law. You're an accessory before the fact, and then when you pay it, you're an accessory after the fact. And there's a penalty to pay for that. A penalty. Every law has a penalty. There's no such thing, boys and girls, as a broken law without a penalty. Now, you don't die every time you break one of these laws. But when you break that law, there's a penalty to pay, whether you knew it or not. It may be the withholding of a benefit. It may be sickness, and that translates into poverty or pain and suffering or the loss of your job or the loss of your house or the loss of your car or something else. Voting. Did you know that voting is against the law? It's a violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. It's an act of idolatry, voting. I know all you Democrats out there just can't withstand, you know, an election cycle going by without voting, but I wanted to tell you that the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not a Democrat. He is an autocrat. He's a king. Kings do not stand for election. And tuck this one away in your heart. When Jesus comes back, he's not going out on the campaign trail to campaign to persuade you that you should vote for him. He doesn't give a rat's ass whether you vote for him or like him or not. In fact, he made this statement. He said, every knee will bow to me. Now, you Englishmen over there, you're going to have an easy time of this because you know how to bow before the Queen. I mean, you people in England have some real manners. I got to concede. Here in America, the English, they think we're a bunch of cowboys out on the frontier. Well, they ain't too far from right. And one thing that no American is ever going to do is bow his knee to anybody. By God, we Americans now, we got a problem with that. So here comes God, and he says, every knee is going to bow to me. And then we Americans over here, we ain't been bowing our knee to the Queen, the King, or anybody else. And in fact, if you ask the average American, who would you bow your knee to? He'd look at you like you got to be out of your mind, Bob. And so in that case, what God is going to do when he comes back, he's going to break both your legs, Bob, and you're going to bow to him, like it or lump it. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, have fun voting and see how your voting paid off here in 2008. All right, now here's another statute, blood and fat. And they actually appear in the same statutes in some cases. But eating blood is against the law. It violates Leviticus 7, verses 26 and 27. And eating fat violates Leviticus 3, verse 17. Now, we follow this blood law pretty much, but we have a thing here called blood sausage, and it's licensed to be sold by our government in our stores, just in case you didn't know that. And then fat is mandated by law here in this country. 30% fat by law goes into your hamburger. Every time you eat at McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's fast foods, that's a violation of Leviticus 3, verse 17. You're told not to do that. Now, we have this obesity problem here in the United States. Well, it comes from eating fat. You know, we got to have it. The census. Did you know it's against the law to run around counting people? And yet in 2010, just got a letter the other day. It asked me if I wanted to be a census taker. By God, I got a letter in the mail. It said, if you want to be a census taker, you know, fill out this form and send it in, and we'd like to hire you. We're an equal opportunity employer. I told the wife, I said, now listen, do you think we could get a job with the United States government without a birth date? See, I don't have a birth date because I don't practice witchcraft. I don't have a social security number. Do you think they could hire me without a social security number? My citizenship has been expatriated. What's going to happen without citizenship? Honest to God, do you think I could get a job with the United States government? They say they're equal opportunity employers. And on top of that, I'm past 65 and don't draw social security. I wonder if they'd practice age discrimination if I filled that out and sent it in. I just got half a mind to do that. Fill it out and say, hey, United States government, I'd like to get a job as a census taker. They might hire me, though, and that'd be a crime because it's against the law to practice the census. You'll see that in 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25, whole chapter there on the census. 70,000 people died getting counted. Public school. Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10 prohibits the attendance at public school. Did you know that? Well, I went to public school. I was a trained criminal. I don't deny that. Hell, if there's any law here in the Bible that I haven't broken, I don't know what it would be. Out of 133 laws, now, you know, there's a law here that says you shall do no murder. I didn't go out and kill anybody yet physically, but I hated a few people from time to time. And the Messiah said, you know, if you hated your brother in your heart, well, then you committed murder already with him in your heart. Witchcraft. Well, now this sodomy thing over here, I can take a rain check on that one. I haven't done that one yet. Abortion, I didn't do that. But eating fat and blood and voting and paying usury and practicing witchcraft and unjust weights. Oh, this interracial marriage, I didn't do that trick either. But Easter, pork, Christmas, integration, you know, I've broken all those laws. Hell, I got up early in the morning to go out and make sure I broke some of them. Nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Now here's one. I haven't broken this one yet. I haven't created a will. That's a violation of Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17. This public school violates Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10. You know, I get calls in here every once in a while, you know, from a preacher. You know, sometimes a preacher will call here, and they're kind of surprised, some of them, at least they say they are, that I'm so smart and I know so much, having no letters and never been to seminary. Boys and girls, if you can read at the third grade level, you can read the Bible and you can see these laws for yourself. I'm just giving you the citations. Hell, you can. Why don't you go read this Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and then just ask yourself, should I send my kid to public school? Why don't you read the statute here in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 25, and then ask yourself, should I give this information to the census taker next year? I don't think you have to be real smart. I don't think you have to go to college. I don't think you have to go to seminary and be trained, you know, at the feet of the Pope or anybody else. It's in English. I think you can read that and understand it. How about fat? You know, what is it about fat that you're having a problem with? The statute says you shall eat no manner of fat. That's pretty straightforward. You shall eat no manner of fat. Hell, even without going to law school, I could understand that. I know it's a shocker. Oh, my God, I've got to give up McDonald's. Yeah, that's right. If you want to live, you know, without heart attack, stroke, diabetes, you're going to have to give up Big Macs. There's no two ways about it. If you want to give up on obesity, you know, that fat trick over there, you're going to have to quit. How about a will? Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17. Now, there's an inheritance law in the Bible. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but there's an inheritance law. It's exactly the opposite from the inheritance law we see in the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Inheritance tax. Inheritance tax. Did you know that the Bible does not have an inheritance tax? They don't tax your inheritance. It's in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Real estate sales by license. Now, it isn't against the law in every case to sell a piece of real estate, but it is against the law to be licensed to sell real estate. And you'll see that in Leviticus 25, verse 23, where it says, the land shall not be sold forever. What is it, Bob, that you don't understand about forever? Huh? Birthdays. Did you know that birthdays are against the law? Violates the scripture. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, and Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. That's two. I could cite about 10 more scriptures in the Bible, and I'll tell you, don't practice birthdays. In fact, every American has a birthday. In fact, in this country, if you don't have a birthday, they think you're a terrorist. When the policeman stops you and he says, what's your birthday and where's your social security number, your driver's license, and your state ID? And you tell him, I don't have any of that. They look at you like, oh, my God, this guy must be, you know, fresh off of the life raft, and he's been smuggled ashore, you know, from some terrorist organization. You know, if you don't have your ID, state-issued ID at that. Unclean meats, here's a good one. Two chapters on this one. Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 tell you what meat to eat and what not to eat. You people down in Louisiana have a real problem with clean and unclean meats. I went into a restaurant down there one time, picked up the menu, went down the list. There wasn't a single thing on the menu that I could eat. Well, not and follow the scripture. Say, I mean, hell, there was plenty of alligator tail, turtle soup. I mean, they had food to eat, but they didn't have anything that was fit for a human being. Maybe fit for a dog or a pig, maybe, but not for humans. Well, anyway, waitress came over, and normally, you know, when you're out traveling, well, we're not vegetarians either. We have a greater latitude than you vegetarians do. And I'd have to tell you vegetarians, you want to stay the hell away from Louisiana, you'll starve to death trying to get through from Texas to Mississippi. I'm not sure that you could live through there unless you got a fast car and you're on the freeway. Maybe you could last from Orange, Texas, you know, to Shreveport or something. Anyway, there wasn't anything on there to eat, and I said, well, could you take the shrimp off of this? And you know, no, we don't make substitutions here. Could you make me a vegetarian plate? No, we don't do that here. What's on the menu is what you get. What you see is what you get. And then I wasn't in a roadside diner here, you know, talking to Flo. I was in what we thought was a pretty good-looking restaurant, you know. We stopped there along the highway. So anyway, we had to leave the restaurant hungry. You know, we just couldn't eat there. All right, mixed fabric clothes. You know when you go into Walmart and you want to buy a pair of socks and it's 89% cotton and 11% nylon, reinforced heel and toe. Do you know that violates Leviticus 19:19? I know it's a rinky-dink statute, and nobody would ever give it the time of day. I was in a clothing store one time, and I was going to buy some Levi's. Didn't have any Levi's, but they had another brand. I don't know what it was. I'm not particular about the brand, but I always look at the label. And I looked at the label, and the first time I'd ever seen a pair of jeans, 99% cotton and 1% nylon. I'd never seen that before. And so I put them back, and the clerk said, why? And I said, because they're mixed fabric. And he said, they're what? And I said, well, read the label here. See, it says 99% cotton and 1% nylon. And he said, well, what difference does that make? I said, it violates Leviticus 19:19. I don't think he'd ever heard that before. I mean, this kid probably went to college. You know, probably a normal all-American young man. And I said, what other kind of jeans have you got here? You got Levi's, and this one won't do. So he showed me another stack of Levi's, and I read the label. Look, here, see, it says 100% cotton. I said, I'll take two pair of these. And he was just flabbergasted that some guy would come into his store and refuse to buy a pair of jeans because they had 1% nylon in them. And I'm not even sure that I understand why God put that law in the Bible. I had a problem like that when I was a little kid. My dad used to have a bunch of laws, rules, and regulations. I lived in the kingdom of Gordon. And my dad told me one time, he says, I'm King Edward and your mother's Queen Mildred, and I'm the king and she's the queen and you're the subject, and I make the law, she executes it, and you should sit down, shut up, and fold your hands and do what you're told. It was a dictatorial nightmare. Yes, boys and girls, it's true. Little Georgie Gordon was born into and raised in a dictatorial nightmare. I don't know, somehow I survived it. And so I don't really understand all the laws that my dad put into motion, you know, like make your bed, take out the garbage, mow the grass, feed the dog. Crazy laws like that. But I did find out that when I didn't do them, it hurt real bad. Oh, God, it hurt bad. Now, this God is the same way. If you don't follow these laws, it's going to hurt real bad. So being extremely sensitive to pain, like I am, and I'm going to have to put a mark right here on number 22. I'm going to put it right here in the margin, number 22, where we'll take this up next time. I found out at home, you know, it hurt real bad when I didn't follow instructions. And then you're going to find out in the real world out here, if you don't follow instructions, it's going to hurt bad. Hey, I'm out of time, so let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.